Just ask Annette. She doesn't want to use her last name. 20 years ago, she was in crisis. She was drinking. Her daughter had been taken away. And one night, she couldn't take it anymore.
Before you know it, I was at the top of the staircase. And I was trying to make myself fall down. It was a very steep staircase. So that maybe could break my neck and just never wake up again.
Annette says the police came. They told her to get back inside or they'd arrest her. Annette says they gave her a $25 fine for disobeying an order. They didn't ask if she was suicidal, didn't call an ambulance.
And today I realized that I was asking for help. I was looking for help. I was crying for help, and I needed help.
Eventually, she got that help, and today she works in the mental health and substance abuse field. But help could have come sooner had police had more awareness or training in the needs of people with substance abuse disorders.
I think today, police officers, teachers, parents should have some sort of knowledge about mental illness and substance abuse, because today children at an earlier age are starting to drink, are starting to smoke, are starting to use drugs.
That knowledge is more crucial than ever as communities around the country struggle with addiction to heroin and other opioids. In one community, Gloucester, Massachusetts, police realized finding and arresting addicts wasn't working. People were overdosing and dying in record numbers. So they decided to try something totally different. It started with Steve Lesnikoski. He was living in his car in California, of all places, at the time. He was addicted to heroin. One afternoon, he was waiting for his dealer when he saw this news on his phone.
May of last year, Gloucester Police Department put a press release out saying anybody that wants help can come into our department.
As a heroin user, Lesnikoski would never have voluntarily walked into a police station all the way across the country and asked for help treating his addiction to an illegal drug. But he was ready to try anything.
You have to be in this absolute desperate state and just devoid of humanity to really change. And that's where I was. Like, right? I didn't know when I was going to die, but it was going to happen. And I was dead inside. And I saw this beacon of light all the way across the country. And I was like, why not?
So they flew him out to Massachusetts. When he landed, he walked into the downtown police department in this busy fishing village north of Boston. Police welcomed him and called an ambulance.
And then that morning, I got to meet the police chief, Campanello. And so he told me some things, that this would be the last time I had to do this, and that Gloucester Police Department stands behind me. I was like, okay, cool.
An officer waited with Lesnikoski, made sure he got into detox and then into treatment. He was the first to take advantage of Gloucester's offer. And it was around that time Gloucester businessman John Rosenthal heard Gloucester's then police chief Leonard Campanello talking about his idea to help addicts instead of arrest them on the radio.
He was going to welcome anyone with the disease of addiction, with or without their drugs, into the Gloucester Police Department and help them into treatment versus jail. I called him up literally while he was on the air, and he called me back as soon as he got off the air and said, let's have breakfast.
The Police Assisted Addiction Recovery Initiative, or PARI, was born.
The Police Assisted Addiction Recovery Initiative starts with the premise that we cannot arrest our way out of the epidemic of opioid overdosing.
From his position in the real estate business, Rosenthal brought the clout and money of the local business community. The Gloucester police chief brought the willingness of a police department in crisis. Rosenthal says they've worked out deals with hospitals, treatment centers, ambulance companies, and others to get addicts into treatment for free. The funds come from a patchwork of sources.
So PARI raises private money. And we do everything from help travel expenses, like for Steve, or sometimes halfway houses for other people that need it. And to date, the majority of dollars that we've used are from drug dealer asset forfeiture funds.
That's the money police seize when they arrest dealers. More than 100 police departments across the country have since adopted the PARI model, all in less than a year and a half. And in Gloucester, the response has been huge.
In Gloucester alone, 510 people have come into the Gloucester Police Department in the last 16 months, and all have been placed into treatment. And like Steve, all have been told, if you relapse, come back.
This willingness to help addicts when they're ready has taken root in nearby Arlington, Massachusetts, too. Police Chief Frederick Ryan says they also realized that when it came to opioid addiction and overdose, what they had been doing wasn't saving any lives.
Previously, we gave them handcuffs, and we were bringing people into the booking window who really belonged in a healthcare setting. And now we're providing a more sophisticated and empathetic approach to dealing with people who need help and not incarceration.
They've adopted the PARI model, like Gloucester, and Ryan says the community appreciates the change.
You know, a lot of folks have really sort of said, ah, finally the cops get it. They're not going to prosecute their way out of this problem. They're treating people with the dignity and the empathy and the respect that they deserve. So it's been very, very rewarding.
Arlington has taken the program a step further. Ryan says police keep a list of people who have survived an overdose. They go down the list, knocking on doors, offering treatment right then and there. And if the person isn't ready, police give them the overdose rescue drug Narcan, just in case. PARI hasn't yet come to Rhode Island, but most police here carry Narcan, and there's a new requirement that all police take something called mental health first aid training. It's designed to help police understand more about mental health and substance abuse disorders and respond with something other than handcuffs when possible. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.